Lie Detector, hosted by renowned criminal attorney F. Lee Bailey, a man with 28 years of experience in lie detection. Counsel for the defense in some of America's most sensational jury trials. A man who goes anywhere for the truth. With him is Ed Gelb, noted polygraph expert and past president of the American Polygraph Association. And behind it all, the polygraph. Perhaps science's most effective means of determining truth or deception. Bailey, Gelb, the polygraph, all working together on Lie Detector.
Eddie, people who claim to have close encounters of the third kind, if you will, are scrutinized by our society very carefully. This all happened 22 years ago.
1951.
In the wilds of New Hampshire.
Well, the mountain area.
Okay. You tell us how it happened.
All right. My husband and I were returning from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Tuesday night. And during the night, we're going back home through the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And it was out of tourist season, there were no cars, all the facilities were closed. And so we were all alone in the highway. And we're traveling along, and all of a sudden we saw what we thought at first was a star, a new star in the sky. So we pulled over, got out of the car to look at it. And while we were watching it, it passed over the face of the moon. And of course, we knew then it was not a star, so we thought it was a satellite. And we returned to the car and started driving. Then we discovered that it had also turned and was following us. And as we came past Indian Head, this craft left the top of the mountain, came out over the highway, and stopped.
Did it land?
No, it was just sitting there above the highway.
How high?
Oh, I would say about 100 feet up, no more than that.
Now, what did it look like?
Double row of windows and a red light on each side.
A red light on each side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How big was it?
Well, I know now, but at that time I didn't know. And I know it was about 65 feet across.
And how deep?
Probably 25, 30 feet.
Was it in the shape of a saucer?
No.
What was the shape?
I would describe it more like, you know the old-fashioned straw hats that many wore?
Yeah, sure.
With the brim and it goes up?
Sure.
It was more like that.
So it had square contour.
Right, and it had the double row of windows.
All right, now you stopped the car, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
How far from the object did you stop?
Not very far away. I really, a couple hundred feet maybe.
All right. Was it brightly lit?
No, we could just see the lighted row of windows and the two red lights.
All right, you with your husband, Barney.
Mm-hmm. He was driving.
What did you do?
He decided to take the binoculars, go out, cross the field, go up to the craft to get a good look at it, to try to figure out what it was.
My binoculars is only a couple hundred feet away.
Well, so we could get a good, see if there's any markings or mm-hmm. identification numbers or anything
like
that.
What were you using for light at this point, aside from...
It was a moonlight night, full moon. That was the only light we had.
Okay, was it clear?
Yes, very clear. So Barney walks with the craft, looking up at it. I remained in the car. And he's looking up, and that's when he saw these beings standing in the window, looking down at him. And he had a feeling of being immobilized in some way. And the red lights parted from the edge of the craft, and the craft started to descend. And at that moment, Barney got into a panic, and he had the feeling that they were going to try to grab him, to capture him. And he came running back to the car, almost hysterical, saying we had to get out of there. They planned they were going to grab us. We were speeding down the highway.
In which direction?
South.
Away from the car?
Well, as he ran back to the car, the object moved over the car.
Mm-hmm.
And as we took off, he was yelling at me to look out, that it was right over the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the window down, and I stuck my head out the window.
What could you see?
I couldn't see anything. All I saw was darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the moon or the stars or the sky.
Did you hear any noise? Was it making any sound?
No. But at that point, there was a beeping sound, beep, 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 and the car vibrated. And then everything became sort of hazy. And we kept saying, where is it? You know, and we're looking, we didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, after the second beeping sound, we drove home. Now, when we arrived home, the first thing we noticed that the trip had taken an unusually long drive. It was at least 2 hours longer than what it should have been.
Okay, now, home was Portsmouth?
Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Okay. And from the White Mountains, that should have taken about a couple hours?
Maybe 3 hours.
Tops?
Yeah.
When you got home, did you realize you'd had a strange experience, or did you just realize you were late?
We realized we were late. There were other things, like my dress was torn.
Mm-hmm. Where?
It was one of these dresses that had the built-in lining,
mm-hmm.
and the hem was torn, stitching. The built-in flap, the seams from the hem to my waist were torn open. There was stitching ripped on the zipper in the back, and it was the second time I'd ever worn the dress.
We'll be back to continue with Betty Hill's experience right after this. So you had a memory of the strange-looking spacecraft of some
right.
kind.
Yes.
The straw hat with a window.
Mm-hmm.
What was the next thing that happened?
Well, we did call Keys Air Force Base and report seeing a craft.
Right, that's right, in Portsmouth.
Right.
Beside base.
Exactly.
And what did they say?
They called us back several times, questioned us over the phone and all. Barney did not mention seeing the beings in the window.
Okay.
We left that out. We figured telling you
somebody
about the UFO
nuts.
Was enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we did that. Then we tried to forget it. And,
but you didn't forget.
No, because Barney's health began to fail to the point that he became totally disabled. He wasn't able to work. So his doctor sent him to a psychiatrist in the same building to see if there was something emotional that was preventing him from getting back on his feet.
What was the result?
We went to him every Saturday morning for 2 hours for 7 months. He put us into medical hypnosis. Our sessions were done individually. And at the end of each session, he gave us amnesia so that we could not remember what had happened, and therefore we could not discuss it with each other.
What did Dr. Simon find out?
Well, we went back and relived leaving Route 3.
Right.
Going onto a side road. Going off the side road onto a narrow, another side road. And as we did, the beings that Barney had seen on the craft were blocking our way. The car motor stalled.
Where was the spacecraft?
Well, I'll tell you.
All right.
The motor stalled, and Barney's trying to stop the car, and it won't stop. And they separate and come up in two groups. And that's when we both panicked. Up until that time, we were fairly calm. They came up, they dragged us out of the car, passing the woods to where the craft was on the ground.
Right, now describe these beings. What did they look like?
Now, there was 11 of them. And there were individual differences in each one.
Were they great differences?
The tallest one was about my height, which is about 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the shortest one was maybe 3.5 feet.
All right. Now, you once helped a sculptor make a representation of your recollection of what these people look like, and that's it.
That's not a composite.
Composite of all 11?
Right.
Okay.
The basic characteristic. The large eyes sliding upward, the small nose, very small nose, a thin slit for the mouth.
No lips, apparently.
Now, they had a gray tone to the skin. Of course, they're living beings.
That's what they look like. Could they speak?
They talked among themselves. They had their own language. And one of them spoke English.
Were they dressed in any way?
All right, they were all wearing a one-piece dark outfit.
Uh-huh.
And then some were wearing jackets, some were wearing caps. Not all of them. But the one who talked with us was wearing a black scarf around his neck. He was the only one with the
neck. When did he talk to you?
When he was taking me to the craft. First of all, I got sort of blanked out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought myself out of this. And I'm walking on the path in the woods. And I look around and, you know, here's Barney. Barney's sort of sleepwalking. It gives that impression. And there's one on each side of him helping him along. So I
He was quite a bit bigger than all of them.
He was taller, yeah. So I turn around, I'm trying to bring Barney out of whatever this condition he was in.
Barney, wake up. It's Barney, his name. And I wouldn't answer.
When they tried to take me on board is when I was really baffling. But they overcame me. And I had to go. And I went into the corridor and I went into one room. Barney was taken into the second room. The leader came in, and then the one I called the examiner, and they checked my eyes, ears, nose, throat, took a sample of my hair, scraped my skin, and then they put me on the table and said they were going to check my nervous system. And then they took this needle-like instrument and tried to, I guess they said they were going to insert it in my navel, and I'm saying, no, 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 it's going to hurt. And they say, no, it won't hurt. And they started, and it did hurt, so they stopped.
Why did they want to put that needle in?
Well, you know, this, I asked them, why are you doing this? And they said, that's a pregnancy test. And I said, that's no pregnancy test here.
All right, well, in 1961, I don't think it was a test of anything. Since then, it has been used, the needle through the abdominal section, for a variety of things.
Right.
One is to find out if the fetus is going to be deformed.
Right. Now it is.
But it wasn't even known then, was it?
Right. 1961.
We'll be back with more of Betty Hill's extraordinary story in just a moment. And after your examination.
The examiner had completed mine, he left and went into the next room my body was. Because by now I'm beginning to overcome some of my fears. I'm beginning to believe I'm going to be on my way home very soon. And so I started walking around and I said to the leader, I want to take something home with me as evidence that this has happened. I want some proof.
You thought maybe they carried souvenirs around with them, like the World Fair. Okay.
That there was a book. And he gave the book to me. And I looked at it briefly at that point. And then I said to him, I know you're not from this planet. I'd like to know where you're from. So he showed me the star map. And he said, do you know where you are on the star map? And I said, no.
That is a rough star map, and that's something that you yourself drew.
He explained it to me in this way. He said, the heavy lines are either trade routes or places that we go frequently or occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And the broken lines are expeditions.
Uh-huh. On that map, there are two stars not connected to any lines which are over on the left side of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Those stars were not known in 1961 to anyone, were they?
Right.
When you drew this map under hypnosis, did you present it to anyone? Did you show it to any astronomers?
Not at that time, no.
Well, at some point.
But I saw it in 61, I sketched it in 65, and then in 1969, a woman researcher from Ohio became interested in it, and did all this research and identified the star pattern.
Okay, but in 65, when you sketched it, you were told there were no such stars.
There are no such stars.
As those two on the left, right?
Right.
All right, continue on. We're still in the spacecraft looking at the star map.
Saw the star map. The examiner came back in the room and he started tugging at my teeth. And I said, you know, what's wrong?
Did you explain to them they were attached?
He said, we're very puzzled. Why are Barney's teeth removable and yours are not? So then I tried to explain, well, sometimes when we get older, we lose our teeth, or poor diet, or accident. And so then he's asking me, well, what's diet, what's older, what's accident? And it was at this point that I discovered that many of the simple words that I was using, he lacked the understanding of these.
They weren't his vocabulary?
Right.
Did you have any ideas to the age of these people? Did they give any clue or description of themselves? Nothing at all?
No. I only asked two questions. Where are you from and when do I get out here?
Mm-hmm.
So then, after that, they came bringing Barney out. And so now I'm really happy I'm going to leave. So I went over and I picked up the book. And I'm walking out of the class with the book. And the leader's walking beside me. And as I said, it was 11. One we called the leader, one the examiner. And the other nine, I called the crew members because they stayed out in the corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going out with the book, and suddenly there's all this hubbub with the crew members. And the leader took the book away from me. He said they objected to my having it. Therefore, he was going to take it.
What was in the book besides these star maps? Was there any writing?
No, it wasn't the star map. The star map was projected on the wall.
I see. Okay.
The book.
What was in the book?
I looked at it just briefly, and there were symbols, and were going up and down in columns, rather than across.
But nothing you could recognize?
Nothing I recognize.
Have you ever seen anything since that was...
No.
Completely foreign?
No.
Did they let you go?
But he took the book.
He hid the book?
He took it away from me.
Right. So you couldn't leave with any evidence at all
right.
that you'd been aboard this weird craft?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When did all this come to your recollection? When did Dr. Simon permit you to remember all the things you've been telling him? And I presume this was all on tape, was it not?
Oh, yes. Well, we underwent these sessions for quite a while, and then towards the end, I would say maybe about a month before the sessions ended, he said to us, I think now, if you want to, you can start remembering. If you want to. And we would get little flashbacks. And then he decided we were ready to open up the amnesia completely.
You and Barney were interrogated separately under hypnosis during the treatments. How closely, apart from the time when you were split for examination purposes, how closely did your recollections match?
We both told the same experience, but from our own viewpoints.
Mm-hmm. But were the major details in place? The sequence, what the people look like?
Yeah.
I believe Barney, while under hypnosis, drew a sketch
right.
of one of the creatures, and it didn't look too differently from the sculpture that you helped to make.
Yeah. Okay.
Second question. Barney had a lot of illnesses with no apparent physiological cause. What happened to his medical condition?
After the hypnosis? Fine. He went back to work.
All right. Now, Barney has since died, has he not? Was that from any of the symptoms that were troubling him when he went to see Dr. Simon?
No.
This was from a stroke?
This was from a stroke. And it was just from the atmospheric pressure. It was probably a weakness that he'd been born with.
I see.
And we were in the midst of a great snowstorm.
Well, and he was a fairly young man, was he not?
46 years old.
You don't connect that in any way with this experience?
No.
The fact that he died at 46?
No, I don't.
There has been a book written about this whole episode. Mm-hmm. A movie made by the same name.
Right.
Interrupted Journey.
The book is Interrupted Journey.
You have been questioned by, I don't know how many people.
Yeah, all kinds.
You're satisfied that this all really happened and it wasn't, in fact, a nightmare induced by...
Okay. It really happened.
Okay.
And actually...
Did you ever get to touch one of these people?
No. They touched me, but I didn't touch them.
Did you feel any body temperature? Were they warm? Just, I put my hand on you. If I were dead, you'd know in a hurry.
Yeah.
Could be all very
funny. I didn't notice any difference.
Couldn't remember.
But later, we did go back and find the capture spot.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea what the power was in the spacecraft? Do you ever hear any whistling noises or anything like that?
Well, it was sitting on the ground. Oh, when we were leaving, they did say, the leader said to me, why don't you wait and see us leave? And we did. And I was standing there by the car, and it was almost like a fiery substance. We were going from revolving around and around the craft.
Mm-hmm.
And then the craft lifted out of this.
How fast did it accelerate?
It went, and then it dropped down, and it was gone.
Any communications at all with these aliens since that experience?
No.
Never tried
I've
to reach
seen
back.
UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
But I
well,
never
UFO
seen...
just means unidentified flying object,
right.
which can be an airplane or it can be something else.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I've never seen the aliens again. And I've never been on board the craft again. And if I was invited the second time, I still would refuse.
I won't forget about it. You can take the book, but you can never, never, never make me forget.
Old and closely examined cases of its kind. In its detailed descriptions, especially of the star map, it is unique. Over the years, it has withstood test after test for credibility and consistency. That is why we have devoted an entire show to retelling her story.
Betty, the polygraph can only determine what you believe to be so.
Mm-hmm.
In trying to bridge from what you believe to be so, whether it is so or not, I think probably the best thing to use is the star map. At least the star map is something that brings us into reality as those who have never had your experience would know it. In other words, there is a map that you drew prior to the time a couple of stars were discernible because they didn't have the equipment in 61 or 65 to see those stars. And subsequently, that map became validated. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that trying to bridge what you believe to be so and what is in fact so, if we address the polygraph examination to how you obtained the information with which to draw the star map, we might at least strike at some form of reality as opposed to your perception, which you may think is very real, but which may not, in fact, be real. So if we try to make the bridge with the star map, and we ask you questions along the lines of, did you obtain the information to draw that star map, from a UFO and then reverse it, did you obtain it through any other source, we can determine what you at least believe in relation to the star map. And then what we've been using basically in these areas of psychic phenomena and with some success is to ask you whether or not you think this whole thing is a hoax. I think quickly we can strip away, if it is a hoax, your belief that what you're saying is so when you know in fact it isn't so. So I think if we address the examination to those two areas, we may at least be able to find out if you believe that what you're saying is so. And before I invite you to take that test, if someone came up to you today, and I'm sure many people have since you've become noteworthy in this area, and said, I had an experience or I was on a UFO, what do you think of those people today? Are they telling the truth or not?
I would want a great deal more than just a person's word that the person's been on a UFO.
Well, the standard is a tangible product of this this whole experience. That's something that has some substantiation quite apart from anybody's arguments against all this.
Yeah, so I think we could use that.
Let's test it.
Nothing disparaging, but I would be derelict as a polygraph examiner if I didn't inquire into your general medical health and as far as your mental health. Let me ask you, if you're not reluctant to say, have you ever, prior to this occurrence, had therapy or counseling or visited a psychiatrist?
No. I'm a retired social worker. I usually took other people in.
But you never needed any treatment yourself?
No.
Okay.
Good enough for me.
Let's try.
Do you plan to lie to me about that star map?
No.
Did you initially receive that star map information while on board a UFO?
Yes.
Betty's story first emerged under hypnosis following nightmares on her part and an unexplained deterioration in the physical condition of her husband, Barney, a medical hypnotist, a psychiatrist, was recommended. And this is what he found. We can only test whether or not she believes this is a real recollection and not something that she made up or only dreamed.
Regarding the original star map information, did you obtain it from a source other than a UFO?
No.
People from New Hampshire are typically swift and direct in their answers.
Do you believe your star map story is a hoax?
No.
Over, remain still for 10 seconds, please.
This is one of the charts, Betty, that was actually collected on television that our viewers could see. The first relevant question was, did you initially receive that star map information while on board a UFO? You, as you're nodding your head, said yes. And we see in the cardio tracing a downward movement of the blood pressure as shown by measuring blood volume. We contrast that with the question before, where there was a slight upswing, and more notably here in the respiration tracing, we see a very long sustained suppression when you answered the control question, and almost nothing happening when you answered the relevant question, indicating a lack of stress, or what we call a lack of reaction to the relevant question. Let's go to the second question. The second question was a restatement of the first. Regarding the original star map information, did you obtain it from a source other than a UFO? Now, when you created the star map, I don't believe there were any sources that could have given you those two other stars, but the question is, what did you believe? You said, no, you didn't get it from a source other than a UFO, and there's absolutely nothing happening here in this cardio tracing, showing a lack of stress when you said no to that question. But the question before, we see that you're capable of significant cardio response because we see it here with this tremendous upswing. Here again, the respiration pattern, there's that suppression that we noted in the earlier question, nothing happening in the relevant question. Let's go to the third question, dealing with whether or not you believe that your story is a hoax. what it says. You believe your star's map story is a hoax? You said no. Blood pressure's going down. Galvanic skin response shows 6 chart divisions. And we contrast that with the question before, where you had many more chart divisions in the galvanometer, a significant baseline arousal in the respiration tracing. Putting it all together, Betty, you believe what you're telling us, and I wouldn't want to alienate an alien and say it isn't so. All I can tell you is you believe what you're saying.
I do.
We now have an astronomer who backs you up. I guess a whole bunch of them. You can't very well describe stars that haven't been discovered without some kind of help. We have a scientist who's a doctor who under hypnosis under techniques that he believes were totally legitimate, came out with this story, showing at least it was in your mind, it was very real, you thought it had happened. We have the time gap, the 2 hours that disappeared from your lifetime until he restored them, and now we have the polygraph, which says you're much more disturbed by general character questions than you are my questions about the authenticity of your story. We can't, even with Steven Spielberg's help, we can't produce a spacecraft, but maybe someday somebody will, and maybe they'll be little in gray. Thank you very much, Betty. It's been
my
a joy.
Pleasure.